Blog Talk Radio.
Going up on a Tuesday, whatever you want to say, which made me say the wrong thing in the intro. We are here for the next 25 or so minutes. Joining us in 5 minutes will be Ryan Ballingy. He was on last week, and we had him on again because he was at Chambers Bay, and he posted a picture onto his Twitter feed of Dustin Johnson's birdie putt. With the caption, "Could you make it?" And coming up today on Teeing It Up, we will ask Ryan Ballingy the same question. Could he make it? And we'll get his answer and other stuff on his experience at Chambers Bay. The Women's World Cup is going on right now. The U.S. beat Colombia last night, and there is... this is a big moment for the Fox Sports division and the Fox Sports company and brand. The U.S. Open was also a big moment for the Fox Sports brand. And while Ryan and I do not talk about the U.S. Open television coverage because he was there, I will. The point I have said on social media and Twitter, at Jay Schill, S-C-H-I-L, the letter J, S. C-H-I-L, just one L, even though my name has two, is that Fox failed at the basic, fail is not the right word, which is why I sound good and got myself in trouble. Fox's weak points were in basic golf television coverage, and the point I was trying to make on social media was, I don't care if your tech gizmo doesn't work, if some announcers don't gel or work. But when you don't give us blimp shots tracking the ball, when you don't give us leaderboards that show all the names, when you don't give us the reaction shot from inside the scorer's trailer of Jordan Spieth, when you have on-course reporters that don't provide information, when you... don't give us analysis and multiple angles of Dustin's missed putt. I can go on and on and on. When you don't give us the stuff that Lance Barrow and Tommy Roy and Bette Hutter and Brant Packer and all the Golf Channel guys give us each and every week, we don't know what we're watching. And that's what troubled me about what Mark Loomis and Steve Beam did over the weekend. They got to pick themselves up now and do a U.S. Senior Open. But that was frustrating. That was troubling. That was not good. And surprisingly, just I would have been okay if the tech stuff didn't work, and it did. I love some of the great tech stuff using ProTracer. In the ways that they did, showing distances and stuff and just the different tech innovations that they had. I wish, more networks, and I think we will see some networks employ some of that stuff, ways to look at trajectories and drops and elevation changes. But when you don't do golf telecast things wrong, it takes away from it. And I feel bad for Mark and Steve. I feel bad for Eric Shanks and the Fox guys, because they put a lot of time and effort into this, and it's gotten blasted on media, and they will get better. But unfortunately, sometimes things don't work as well as you want to in the first try. Per the deal that Fox has, it happened on the biggest stage, and when the U.S. Women's Open eventually gets moved its date moved to early June, it's going to help them a lot. They're going to be able to experiment and go through these growth pains, you know, on that kind of a stage, not that the Women's Open is of lesser importance, but it'll have less viewers and it's a better avenue to make errors than on a very public stage, which is the United States Open Championship. Those are my thoughts on Fox's TV coverage. I've made them in a lot more detail and talked about a lot more things on Twitter if you want to scroll through and see what I had to say there. Ryan Ballinger joins us in 30 seconds. This is Teeing It Up on Blog Talk Radio and the Golf News Net Radio Network.
Sometimes tough isn't enough. Lou Gehrig was baseball's Iron Man, but lost it all to ALS, a muscle-wasting disease that destroyed his skills and ended his life in just a few years. MDA has been leading the fight to vanquish ALS for decades. Truly effective treatments must be found, because the battle Lou Gehrig fought is still being waged in households across America. Call 1-800-572-1717 to learn more about what MDA is doing to strike out ALS and save lives.
And we're so glad to have fresh back from Chambers Bay on Teeing It Up our great friend Ryan Ballinger from the Golf News Net and Yahoo Golf. Hello, Ryan.
Thanks for having me, Jeremy.
No problem. So before we get into talking about the week, you posted a picture Sunday night and you stood ground level right behind the putt that Dustin Johnson missed. Considering the state of those greens, I will ask you the same question which you asked all of us in your caption. Could you have made that putt?
I think I could have made it. I think what I think probably happened in the moment is that I think it's a right edge putt. And I think Dustin Johnson probably just wanted to ram it in there straight in. Maybe didn't take enough time over it, didn't think about it long enough, didn't measure the situation enough, and just tried to, like I said, ram it in the middle. And wound up pulling it just a smidge, just enough so that it missed the hole. I think that's a putt he makes 8 and 10 times, if not 9 and 10 times, if not 10 and 10 times under most circumstances. But it wasn't just a straight in ram at the hole putt to force the playoff. So he does deserve at least a little bit of maybe not so much criticism for three putting because it wasn't a gimme.
You know, there's so many different ways to look at it because that was such a crazy sequence. In my mind, what his mistake in my mind was the first putt and letting it roll out too far. But Doug Ferguson, who I guess played Chambers Bay yesterday, posted on Twitter that he thought that putt was hard to stop even if you hit it off the toe. From what you thought standing on that green, could Dustin have done anything else with his first putt?
You know what? I'm inclined to agree with Doug. That putt was not slow by any stretch, and you weren't going to make it slow. And in fact, I thought someone else argued it might have been Ben Everall of the Australian Associated Press, who also hit the putt. Pretty much everyone hit the putt that played yesterday. He argued that Dustin would have had to hit it with more speed to play the break appropriately. I don't know that I necessarily buy that, but it's the right combo of speed and break to get it there. So. Maybe that's the case. Maybe he would have had to leave himself 8 or 9 feet to hit it with the proper speed to get in the hole to make the eagle putt. Then again, that makes it a more difficult putt to get into the playoff. So I imagine Dustin probably was trying to make it as much as he could, but probably wasn't. He knew how quick that putt was. He knew he could leave himself something equally as long as the first putt. I think he didn't want to do that. And that's probably why he just tried to coax it down there a little bit and hoped that it was just good enough to stay within 1 or 2 feet and guarantee himself a playoff.
Talking with Ryan Ballinger, who is at Chambers Bay. Where were you when Dustin was walking up to 18?
I was in the media center. My colleague for the week, Pat Forty, had her inside the roast staff. There were only 50 given out that week, so you kind of had to use them sparingly. So I had him Thursday, Friday, Saturday, basically, because that's just kind of the way my story worked
right
out. And he went all in on Dustin Johnson on Sunday. And he was there for the putt. I was in the media center. I think all of us that were sitting there were, and there were a lot of us at the time, assuming we're going to be back here on Monday. This is the press can't believe it worked out this way. And then the first putt goes by, you thought, well, okay, well, you didn't get it there, you're just going to make it. And then it kept rolling out a little bit more. And I think people in a kind of demented way, sick way, got excited that there's the possibility that he misses. And when he misses, there's this uproar, yeah, we don't have to stay here on Monday, we can all go home, all that kind of stuff. So it's kind of a weird reaction. A golf writer will do anything to avoid a playoff. So in one sense, people are happy that it's over, but you also feel bad for the guy. I more felt bad for the guy than anything else. That this is his fourth opportunity in a major championship. All of them, by the way, on links-type courses, and just could not get the job done. And for whatever reason, that's got to be something that stings for a long time, no matter what front he put on.
Ryan, for those people out there who are not media members and have not been writers, tell the folks at home why media writers hate playoffs and hate Monday finishes.
Typically because it ruins your travel arrangements, and that means when you plan your travel after a big tournament like this one, you're typically doing it to get home at the time you want, the ideal time. So for me, I had a plane ticket for tomorrow, for that Monday at 11 a.m. so I could kind of leisurely get up and get to the airport and then get home within a reasonable, would have been 7 hours worth of travel time. And I figured, oh no, I'm going to have to take an early flight on Tuesday or a very late one on Monday because of family logistics and all those things. And those things pop up for a lot of guys where all of a sudden you got to care about child care arrangements and all those things you thought that were pat. And then on top of it all, you have to have an extra day of work when Monday is thought of as kind of a breathe easy day. You rest a little bit, you don't worry about writing your column or your pieces for the day. So it's almost like taking a day off from somebody. I think that's why somebody loathed the idea of a playoff.
Right. Let's go back to Jordan Spieth for a second. You and I have sat here on many a radio show and talked about how special he is. Having been there during the week, did you sense this was his week?
You know, I really didn't. I thought after a couple of rounds, okay, well, I mean, he's there, but he hasn't done anything special. And I followed him pretty closely throughout the championship, and most of the time I spent inside the ropes was with Jordan Spieth or Tiger Woods. So when it came to the weekend, I mean, it just seemed like he wasn't playing inspired golf. And I think that the point that Billy Horschel made was a good one, despite all the complaining and the antics. And that was, I truly believe that the putting surfaces at Chambers Bay somewhat mitigated Jordan Spieth's greatest skill, which is putting. And he had 6 green putts through the week. So, I mean, and a lot of them were over the course of the first 3 rounds. And I think that led me to believe this wasn't going to be his week because of what he does best wasn't working best. And He had some moments again on Sunday where you're kind of like, man, that should have gone. I mean, under normal circumstance, that's probably in for him. And I think is the USGA probably softened the setup just a smidge on Sunday. It made putting slightly more relevant, and all of a sudden you saw Spieth make a few. And I think that was the difference for him. But at no time did I really think, oh, he's got this in hand. It really seemed, especially with the 4 stories you could have had on Sunday. You could have had Dustin Johnson. You could have Jason Day with the greatest open comeback from some kind of injury since Tiger, and then before that, Ken Venturi and Ben Hogan, and then you got Brandon Grace, who would be a total out-of-the-blue story, but would be a compelling one, given that he's been pretty ruthless with a 54-hole lead on the European Tour. And then all of a sudden, you get Rory and Scott and everybody, the new season coming in at the end, and, there were way too many factors there for us to all say, this is Jordan's week, but I mean, obviously it turned out that way, but it certainly didn't look it.
You were there. You've played on golf courses all over the world. You've played on courses that were probably in horrific shape. You've played on some courses that were probably in spectacular shape. From a golfer's perspective, what would you say about Chambers Bay and the shape it was in last week?
I don't think it was in its best shape, and I think the USGA made a mistake in how quickly they decided to run the putting surfaces. They're running them 11 and 12. Between 11 and a half and 12, excuse me, on the stem. And ideally, Chambers Bay plays at 8 or 9. I mean, that's just what FU is. That's what an Open Championship is, 9 or 10 to 8 or 9. And that's kind of where it probably should have stayed. That all said, I think that the golf course from Tee to Green was probably liked by most of the players. the fairways, which we got plenty of time to walk on because you had nowhere else to walk inside the ropes, looked in pretty good shape. I think really it boiled down to the borderline killing of the greens and the way the fescue blades of grass grow or don't when they're watered or lack water, and they shrivel up, they get smaller, and all of a sudden the surface area between blades gets higher. That's why you see the wobble. That's why you see inconsistent green speeds. That's why you see inconsistent putting. And then POA slips in, and that makes it even worse. And then you have greens that were redone after the 2010 AM, and greens that weren't. The ones that were redone looked great and hadn't had POA infiltration. So I think that was a very valid, problematic thing for the USGA, that they just didn't have the greens where they needed them to be. And it almost reminded me of the sense of Congressional, but on the opposite end, where Congressional ruined their greens project twice leading into the U.S. Open and had to err on the side of soft and somewhat slow, and Rory McIlroy took advantage. Mm. In this case, they went the other way. They went too firm, too fast, but I also think they didn't anticipate that we would have 4 days of basically no rain, weather in the 80s, almost no breeze, no marine layer to speak of or anything like that. So I don't think they anticipated that they wouldn't have a chance to get water from nature over the course of the 4 days of the championship.
The point that I made on Twitter a lot was that if they had let the golf course stay as green as it was in all the promotional pictures, all the promotional video Fox had, all the promotional video Golf Channel had, that if they let Chambers Bay be in its natural state, and if they let its natural defenses as a golf course be the defense plus some distance, that it would have been okay. And the response that I gotten is no, the final score would have been 8-under, 9-under, 10-under. What's your take on that? What would this golf course have played if they let it be in its natural state?
Well, I think if you kept the setup all the same, probably 8, 9, 10 under par. And I say that because the way that the green complexes are, with how firm they were and how fast they were, it was impossible to use but a very limited space on each green for hole locations. So that really limited what Mike Davis could do in terms of imagination. I'll give you an example. 17, the ridge to the right, the uphill ridge, was unusable because of how fast the greens were, how firm they were. When anyone, no one even dared to try and hit at the pin, which kind of removes the point of skill from the competition. But if they were rolling at 8 or 9 and they were a little bit softer, then maybe Davis could have played the tee up, play as a 150-yard hole, entertain guys, go at it with a wedge or a 9-iron, and that would have made a really interesting hole position, but it would have been a really dangerous one. So I think it would have given him some more options and ways to use the golf course that he may still have gotten the desired score, you know, 4 or 5 under, 3, 4, 5 under, somewhere in there as the winning score, if he had more options to create more dangerous pins. Because quite frankly, there weren't as many dangerous pins out there as there could have been because of the fact that they had basically lost the golf course on the greens. Otherwise, guys would be 4, 5, 6 putting.
We've talked a lot, you and I, about how popular Mike Davis is. Do you think, I mean, not that this tarnishes his reputation, that might be too stern, but do you think this is a knock on Mike Davis, the 2015 U.S. Open will be?
I think so. I mean, I think it was a miss in terms of the greens. I don't think it's a knock on Davis the way that 04 at Shinnecock was a knock on Tom Neeson ended his career. But I get the sense that a lot of players are going to be wary of going to venues like Erin Hills in 2 years because it's an unproven commodity and they don't know the USGA how they're going to set up the golf course. I think a lot of guys know what to expect next year with Oakmont. They know it will be very fast. They know it will be very difficult, and there'll be some complaining, but there will also be an understanding. And I think because this was a new venue, because there was so little known about it, because guys didn't make that trip out to the Pacific Northwest to get to know the course to the same extent that you might know other places like Oakmont or Torrey or you name them, then I think that was really the result of the backlash, was having no idea that the greens were like this and then having no idea that they would get into the shape they did by Sunday. So that was kind of the double whammy against Mike Davis.
talking to Ryan Ballingy from the Golf News Net and Yahoo, who was at Chambers Bay last week. There's a ton of different things we could talk about here. A couple quickies. You walked, you said, with Tiger a lot. He seems happy off the course. He seems relaxed. He seemed fun with the press. And then he looks horrible when he gets between the ropes and wasn't any better this week than he was back at Jack's place or at Sawgrass. You know, he hasn't been the same since Augusta, really. What's your take on what happened to Tiger? Was he just swept up bad shots in a course that was really penalizing bad shots?
I'm convinced more than ever at this point that his problem is mental, and that it is taking what he does on the range, and he hits extremely well on the range for the most part now, and he can't take it to the golf course. I mean, you can see it in pretty much every swing. He kind of dips down. This thing that he's done for basically a decade, he dips down and spans it to the right and leaves himself open to bad shots, inconsistent points where in his swing you just can't stretch your body up and change your posture completely and expect to hit it well every time. Sometimes you will correct for it, and sometimes you'll hit it properly, and others you will fan it way right, and others you'll overcompensate and go left. I think that's where he creates his problem. He just cannot maintain his posture throughout the swing, whereas it looks great on the range. If he cannot do that, if he can't take the posture that works for the swing that he's working on from the range to the course, he's never going to produce a good score again. It's just not going to happen, especially on the kinds of courses that he plays where he just can't back, you can't back into 65 or 69 even at the U.S. Open with a swing like that. And so I don't know what the answer is, but it would strike me that the answer for him is just keep playing. It's not, oh, I've got a summer schedule that's four tournaments. It's, I got to play every week until I can take it from the range to the course. And he's got to do it. Otherwise, that important moment once a day is something he's missing out on. And if he can't have that moment where he goes, yes, this is the time it clicked, now it's going to keep clicking, then I think he's doomed to continue failing.
Not sure what channel they had on in the media center last week, but Golf Channel had Pro Tracer with them on the range, and you see these shot dispersion patterns that are fantastic. And the thing that I've seen from Tiger on the range is that he looks like he's not going at it full, like he's in this nice, calm state. And I've always said about Tiger, if he took to the course what his golf swing would be like 2 seconds out of bed, that would solve his problem. I think he has enough natural swing speed and distance that he can play with his swing 2 seconds out of bed. And what's your take on that? Can he hit it far enough with a slowed down swing that looks like he's tired and has not, you know, had his breakfast yet? Can that work?
I don't even think it's that. I mean, timing is, at this level, he's going to swing that speed. I mean, you just do. Unless you're like Gary Player.
Right.
And so I don't think slowing it down necessarily is the answer. I really do think it is a simple matter of posture. And, I mean, you can just see it. I don't even know how to explain other than that. His back scrunches up, and it looks like at impact he is 5'6 instead of 6'1. And you just can't swing a golf club that way and expect it to work. There's just no way around it. So that's the thing he's got to take from the range to the course is, and I don't know how, what drill he needs to do that, but for whatever reason, he can't. And that sets up everything else that he has to do. It puts pressure on his short game, puts pressure on him putting. And I think the more that you think about it over time, you really start to see his putting degrade in 2007. And if you think about it, I mean, that's not too long after he started kind of doing this scrunch crap. And I think that's kind of the downfall. If you look back at his swing, you go, well, you can't do that forever. It's just not possible. Even when he was at his physical peak, he found a way to compensate, but he's not anymore. He's 39, almost 40. You just can't do that anymore.
Jordan Spieth is the 2015 United States Open champion. Will Jordan Spieth be the 2015 champion golfer of the year?
Boy, that's a great question. I think he can. I mean, I can't tell you yes or no. I mean, I think things can change in
right.
his space of a few weeks. But I think it's going to come down to Rory and Jordan and maybe Dustin Johnson again, because everything that worked about Chambers Bay for those guys should apply again at St. Andrews. I mean, Rory and Dustin hit it massive amounts of length. Rory's obviously more accurate, so he's got a little bit of an advantage over Dustin. But by and large, you don't have to be extremely accurate at St. Andrews. You have to be fairly accurate to hit fairways instead of good shots. The greens aren't all that fast, so lag putting will be a big deal, which that's an advantage for speed. Obviously, he's a better putter than both those guys. That's an advantage for him. The real question mark is how does Spieth deal with the pressure? Because I think he had moments at Chambers Bay where he didn't deal with the pressure very well at all, but he had enough times where he did it right that it worked out in the end. So I think for him, the next step in his maturation is to go through a tournament and not have but one or two of those moments where it looks like he's going to lose it, and where it looks like he's going to get down on himself, and all of a sudden what had been working is not going to work. If he can avoid that and that be the response to St. Andrews, the inevitable strange bounce and the pressure that's going to come of being harassed for the next 3 weeks, 4 weeks about winning a third major in a single season, then I think he's got a really good chance. But that's the unknown quantity is pressure.
Ryan Ballingy, back from Chambers Bay. Did you enjoy your time, by the way, in the Seattle-Tacoma area?
I did. I mean, I know a lot of people probably malign Tacoma a little bit because it's not Seattle, but I like Tacoma. I had a lot of character. Didn't have a lot of volume of options, but I had a lot of variety of options. It was a fun city to see, and I don't know how you can be mad about the views that you get either Mount Rainier, which was incredible, or Puget Sound. I mean, there's beauty everywhere. So if you didn't have a good time or you didn't make a good time in Tacoma, you're going to struggle in other places.
Next time we'll see Chambers Bay hosting a major golf event, the year will be?
It's either going to be 2024 or never. And I truly believe that, because the USGA has set up their calendar basically through 2023. Maybe it'd be 2025 because they go West Coast, East Coast with the LA Country Club likely to host the 2023 Open, so maybe somewhere in 2025. But beyond that, I can't imagine if they don't get their shot basically in 10 to 15 years, they're never going to get it again.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I just, you know, well, look, great job at the end, fantastic winner. I feel awful for Dustin Johnson, who's done so much to make himself better, and this looked to be the icing on the cake for all the self-improvement he's done over the last year and obviously struggled. I feel for him. I hope Jason Day gets his issues validated, but I wish that Mike Davis had just let the golf course play to a more natural state. I think the complaints would have been fewer. I think the focus would have been on the golf. And the last hour, 90 minutes, is some of the best golf we've had this year, this side of the Players.
Yeah. I mean, I think in the end, the golfers were the story, and that's obviously what you want. And Mike Davis knew he had to set it up a certain way, a little bit softer. I mean, obviously, he couldn't do much about the green, but he set it up a little bit softer, a little bit friendlier with the whole location, to invite some drama, invite some good scoring. He got that on Sunday. So, I mean, he is a puppet master. He knows how to do things when he needs to do them, and he got the result we wanted. And I think because of the champion that we got, there is a chance that this course hosts again.
Ryan Ballingy from the Golf News Net and Yahoo Golf, thank you so much. I know you must be exhausted, and you're looking forward to playing golf. So thanks for coming on. Thanks for taking some time. And thanks for the great work last week and for your perspective today over what happened out at Chambers Bay.
Thanks for having me as always.
Yep.
That's it for Teeing It Up. We'll see you next week on Monday. Thanks.